Sorry to hear that. Better luck next time, I guess. When was the last time you went dancing with your girlfriend?
Went to a couple weddings over the last month. Okay. So
she's seen it before. Ken, it couldn't have been that bad.
You know, that's actually a good question.
Was she? Did you make her leave the room before you danced?
Nobody's bringing out that at a wedding. No, it doesn't actually
matter. Are you doing the waltz? Are you doing a box step? I mean, you're just dancing.
No, I'm just dancing normally. Not like an idiot.
I like your dance. I know that doesn't help you at all. I know that that doesn't make you feel any better. I'm just saying that you owned it, and you should have owned it, and it was awesome, and you should feel very good about that. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And so we're doing the show this morning.
Yep.
And we're talking about the USC vacancy. Mm-hmm. And the possibilities of who may get the job and who's a candidate for the job and who's maybe inserting their name so they get looked at as a candidate for the job, even though they're not really a candidate for the job. And then Carson Palmer kind of threw a monkey wrench into this whole thing. He was on with Dan Patrick and said...
Stirs up the pot a little bit.
Kind of went down the list, right? Mm-hmm. Listing, oh, there's this guy and there's this guy and there's this guy. And, you know, there's always Mike Tomlin and as a wild card, as he described it. Mm-hmm. And Dan said, Mike Tomlin? And then, of course, you knew how it's going to go. It's going to get to Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, and he was going to get that question, hey, is there anything to this USC thing that's floating around there? And this aspiring coaches or current coaches looking for other jobs is how you end speculation on whether or not you're job hunting.
As I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Okay? Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? There's not a booster with a big enough blank check.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? You know, anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?
No, thank you, Coach Tomlin. Thank you for giving us this.
Never say never, but never.
I love that. And I like the guy in the background. I don't know if you can hear it, Al, where he's going on. He says, are we clear? And the guy goes, yes. It's just fantastic.
Do you think that Mike Bone has a dry erase board in his office? And on there, it looks like just candidates that they're going after, targets, right? Uh-huh. Top tier, second tier. And then just earlier this morning, he just takes those, just kind of takes his sweater. He doesn't even go get that eraser that clears off the dry erase board.
His thumb.
And just kind of just takes off Mike Tomlin off the list. Like, guys, I have a hunch that Tomlin might not be a candidate moving forward.
It was so good because we were talking about it this morning, and it's actually a wonderful idea, right? Mike Tomlin is...
That's a grand slam.
It's a grand slam. It's no nonsense. His record as a head coach is impeccable. His everybody from players to fans
love
to media,
him.
They
we'll
respect
go
him.
A wall
absolutely.
For him. Yep.
He's been the head coach at Pittsburgh since 2007, and he's never had a losing season. Okay, he knows what he's doing. But you and I are looking at each other like, why would he take this job? It doesn't make any sense. He's not from California. He didn't play football at USC.
Yeah.
He's never really been a college guy. He's been a pro guy more or less his entire life. That just kind of saying, oh, well, how about Mike? Well, sure, why not? How about Nick Saban? How about Bill Belichick? I mean, if we're just throwing names out there, why not Andy Reid or Sean Payton? It makes as much sense as Mike Tomlin. And then, you know, on the heels of that, there's the tweet from Brett McMurphy, mm-hmm. who throws Jeff Fisher's name in. I'm going to read this to you. This is Brett McMurphy from the Action Network saying, ex-NFL coach and USC alum Jeff Fisher is in the mix for USC's coaching position, sources told Action Network. On Monday, former USC quarterback Carson Palmer said candidates include Penn State's James Franklin, Iowa State's Matt Campbell, Cincinnati's Luke Fickell, and Steelers coach Mike Tomlin. So we can take Mike Tomlin off the list.
Never say never, but never.
Jeff Fisher.
Just letting him know. Yeah,
Jeff,
that's letting him know.
If like you said, when Mike Bone is done erasing Mike Tomlin's name from the dry erase board, what he needs to do is go build a roadblock in front of Jeff Fisher's house so he can't get to the Coliseum. He can't get to the USC campus. That is as good of an idea as Jeff Fisher was, and we just talked about it. Or excuse me, Mike Tomlin was. That's how bad of an idea that Jeff Fisher is.
Yeah, listen, I think and I hope here, I say this optimistically, that the USC, the head of USC and the president and the boosters and everybody else that kind of will make decisions when it comes to who's going to be the next coach, have a pulse of what today is at USC, what college football recruiting is today, that not looking back, and this is going to kind of fall into our stat hero of the day. Stat hero of the day is Jeff Fisher's record as an NFL coach. He's in the NFL for 22 years mm-hmm. as a head coach.
It's a long time.
Only had 7 winning seasons, but Trav, put all that aside, it ain't today's game.
No, it's not,
there's Jeff Fisher's going to be walking into some high school recruit, a top recruit that is questioning whether he's going to go to USC or he's going to go to Texas or he's going to go to Clemson or he's going to go to Alabama. Jeff Fisher is who you're bringing. You know, I'm optimistic enough that they understand that this hire can do one of two things. The next hire that they bring in as a coach, either the right coach can completely catapult a program and start moving in the right direction starting tomorrow, or it's going to stall you another 2-3 years of nothing. And that's the difference between bringing in the – by the way, maybe longer than 2-3 years.
Yeah.
But the USC, that university in the football program is one of those programs that – it can turn around quick, but it's all about who's leading, you know, obviously leading the way, and Jeff Fisher, in my opinion, would not be one of those.
They need
guys to
find a way to make it modern, to make it exciting, to make it the place that you want to be, and hiring the guy that Todd Gurley described as running an eighth-grade offense is not the way to do that. Mm. That was the quote from Gurley when he was asked about the Rams' offense prior to Sean McVay. It's like it's running an eighth-grade offense. This was 2 yards and negative 8 yards in a cloud of dust. This was the most antiquated way to play football that we had seen in the 21st century. Look at what happened. The Rams come back to L.A., and have a 4-12 season, and it is a bleep show. It's not only just a bad record, it is as uninspiring a football as you're ever going to see. It just doesn't look good. Jared Goff looks like a guy that they just wasted a number one pick on, wasted a ton of draft picks on to go get this guy, and he can't – I'm going to steal Key's line here – he can't play dead in a cowboy movie. Okay, this is just a terrible, terrible look. Sean McVay comes in with essentially the same team. They win the division. The next year, they go to the Super Bowl. The year after that, they finish 9-7 and just miss the playoffs. The year after that, they go back to the playoffs, win a game in the playoffs with a quarterback with a broken hand, go to Lambeau Field and lose. This year, they're getting ready to go back to the Super Bowl again, potentially. Jeff Fisher was there for an eternity, and they were never good. This is the guy that's on the short list of candidates to be – this has to be a joke. This has to be something that Jeff Fisher has a relationship with somebody and said, hey, can you just throw my name out there so it looks mm-hmm. like people are still interested in me? Because there's no way anyone is seriously considering him for the job.
Francis in Glendale hits us on Twitter. He says, Jeff Fisher started the USC rumors by showing up on campus on his own, hoping someone would take a photo.
Hey, guys, I'm over here. He's live streaming himself, just walking through USC campus right here, getting a look at the Coliseum, the old stomping
grounds.
Just
doing what I do. Just doing what I do.
Here's me and Tommy Trojan. What do you think, Trojan fans? What do you think? So who do you like, Al? There's James Franklin, just switched his agent. That's always kind of an interesting little moment. There is James, I should say, why am I blanking on the name from Cincinnati? Luke Fickell. There you go. It's Luke Fickell, who's got his team ranked number 2 in the country at Cincinnati, of all places. Mm-hmm. There's Matt Campbell, who's built a program at Iowa State. There are some interesting candidates out there.
We had this conversation about, by the way, Stat Hero, the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives a player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/710ESPN for 300% back on your first play. We appreciate them being a part of the show here. We've had this conversation whether the Penn State job or the USC job is better, right? If you remember, this has been, you know, part of our dialogue. Mm-hmm. It's been, okay, well, would James Franklin leave? Why would he leave? Is it a better gig for him? The one thing I like about James Franklin, he's in a conference where he's got to go up against Ohio State. He's in a conference where he's going up against good,
Michigan, Wisconsin, Michigan State, they're real teams.
They're going up against real teams. So I think that part of it is what I like, because it's not a, oh, well, you're in a conference, you might be top five in the country, but you're not facing anybody, just using that as an example. But I'm a fan of that. I just don't think I have a tough time questioning whether USC is going to put what Penn State puts into their program, their football program, as in we'll do whatever it takes to win. I don't know if USC is going to do that, but I'm a fan of James Franklin.
Yeah, I think he's a decent choice. I think the best choice is Luke Fickell for two reasons. Number one, they're winning right now. He knows how to build a program. He knows how to identify players. He knows how to identify the players and then make them better. Okay, he's putting guys in the NFL. He's doing a good job there. Your point, though, about understanding a big program, you know, and playing against big schools. And I understand the Pac-12 is awful this season. There's one team in the Pac-12 in the top 25. It's Oregon, and they're not very good. Okay, they're just not having over their quarterback's lousy. They're not good. The Pac-12 generally is way down right now. Doesn't mean that you're not playing real teams. Washington's a real program. Oregon's a real program. USC's a real program. Stanford's a real program. There are real teams out here. Luke Fickell was the head coach. Now, granted, it was for 5 seconds, but he was the head coach at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. He knows what it's like to be in a major program. He knows what that looks like. This is not going to be, oh, wow, this is a much bigger job than Cincinnati. I don't know. He was the head coach at Ohio State. There's not too many things that are a better training ground to go run a big program than doing it at Ohio State, and he's winning. It just seems like this is a really good matchup. The problem with all of this, Al, is I think LSU is going to eat first. I think whoever the first guy is that everybody wants, and I think Luke Fickell's on that list.
And by the way, they should.
Of course they should. They care about it more. Mm-hmm. And that really deeply bothers me as somebody who's from L.A., who loves the Pac-12, who wants to see USC be a good program. But of course the LSU job is a better job. Of course the Penn State job is a better job. The crazy part about it all, the Cincinnati job may be better right now. Now, historically, of course not. Could it go to the heights that USC could go to? Absolutely not. But right now,
do you remember, and this is it's kind of crazy to think this way, over the weekend. This weekend is a perfect example. There was a lot going on in sports in L.A., all right? You had the Dodgers in their Game 6 against the Braves. Lakers are coming off a game on Friday. They had another game on Sunday. The season's just starting. Everybody's excited to see
Rams
what this Laker team is going to be.
Chargers are having a great year.
Rams having – do you know what storyline? By the way, College Game Day was at the Rose Bowl, UCLA, Oregon. Do you know what else was on?
I know.
USC Notre Dame.
In South Bend.
And it's almost from our perspective for us trying to deliver what a sports audience wants in LA, it's a disservice for us on Monday to be talking about USC and Notre Dame. And I say that because that's where the program is.
I'm trying to think of a comp, Al. I'm trying to think of something that's been popular, important, meaningful. That just evaporated. That's just that. And you know what I almost said? It's like USC and UCLA playing each other and nobody paying attention. But we've already seen that too. That it's
yeah.
It's,
that was it's been recent.
Right. It's just this is how fast it changes. But like you said a minute ago, the very good news in all of this is that USC is one of the very few places
it can change.
Where you don't have to plant little seeds in the ground that are going to take, you know, 5 years, 10 years to blossom into a program. You have to do that at Iowa State. You have to do that at Cincinnati. It's going to take a little time to build a program like that. If you can come in here and be good in a year or two at USC, everybody has your full attention all over again.
Okay, I want to get some thoughts from Dodger fans on this. 877-710-ESPN. So, let's list out all the names that could potentially not come back to the Dodgers through the offseason. All right? So, Kenley Jansen, Chris Taylor, Corey Seager, Clayton Kershaw, Max Scherzer.
There's five.
Okay, there's five right there. Let's go with those five. The Dodgers could have a lineup next season that does not include any of those five players. If you're a Dodger fan and you want to make sure, hey, this one player of that group has to come back, who would it be? The phone number is 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. Trav, I think that's a good conversation. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here, Travis and Sliwa, Travis and Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'm a believer now. I'm all in, Al. I'm just going to hang out with Justin Bieber, listen to his music, just completely enjoy the Bieber lifestyle.
Okay, how many home games? Lakers got three home games in. I can't remember. I know, I want to say the Memphis game and maybe the Suns game.
Mm-hmm.
The Jumbotron goes to Bieber.
Yeah.
Bieber's sitting there.
Didn't look like he was enjoying himself.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Yes. Did you see it?
I did.
Bieber, it's okay to just quick little wave, a little smile.
He looks miserable.
Yeah, everything's fine. Everything's fine. You're doing okay.
Yeah, it was.
You're doing all right in life.
You know what else I noticed about that?
Yeah.
I have not been to a Laker game this season, so maybe something has changed, but I've been to, I don't know, 100, 200 Laker games in my life. I've been to a lot of them.
Yep.
Is it 30 degrees in there now? Did they change the rules? Why is he wearing a parka?
I'm not sure.
It seemed unnecessary.
I think he had a a parka and a beanie on or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It was an interesting look.
Hey, guys, it's really cold at the Laker games.
It's not parka cold.
It is. It really is.
Okay, I need to go take you to, like, Tahoe in February or something so you know what cold. It might be, what is it in there, 68 degrees? Maybe?
I think less than that.
No.
It has to be. There's ice under the floor.
You have control the temperature. So at any time, there's buttons all over Staples where you just turn it up and down, just like our studio. Turn up or down. No, but every time they show Bieber, I'm like, bro, just a little bit of a smile. Everything's going to be okay. You're fine.
Maybe not.
Front row at a Lakers game.
All right. So the question that you asked earlier, Al, was who the Dodgers should prioritize when it comes to keeping their top free agents. And we got Max Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw, Kenley Jansen as your pitchers. You got two position players. You got Corey Seager and Chris Taylor. And I think you can make a case for almost all of them with the exception of Max Scherzer. I think he's the easiest. As weird as it sounds, and I don't know if we would have been saying this a month or so ago, but Max Scherzer's 37 years old, just got to the end of the line and couldn't pitch because his arm just wasn't capable of pitching. And that's not a judgment. That's just what happened.
How much of that is how they used him towards this? Like how much if we're going to –
It's happened before. It wasn't a this season thing. This has happened to him before where he gets it. And look, it happens to most pitchers where you go through a dead arm period and you're not able to do it. You'd hope it's not in October.
But what I'm saying is they pitched him so much. They obviously depended on him so much towards the end there. And there was no luxury of saying, well, you know what, they were using Scherzer to close out the series against the Giants. They were turning him around and using him again right after. They were trying to use Scherzer as much as they can. Is it have more to do with that, or is it, no, this is just a pitcher who's 37 years old that you can't really, you know, depend on? Because Julio was also looked like he ran out of gas. Buehler looked like he ran out of gas. So it wasn't just a Scherzer thing.
It wasn't just a Scherzer thing, but Scherzer is the only one in that group that's 37.
With you.
That Buehler is in his 20s, that Julio Urias is in his 20s, that Clayton Kershaw is in his, you know, early to mid-30s.
33, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. That Max Scherzer just finished his age 37 season. That's not – look, he's amazing. He's going straight to the Hall of Fame. He's a great pitcher, and he pitched his ass off for the Dodgers. He gave them everything he had. He was a great acquisition, and it really worked out, except for when it didn't, and now you just kind of move on forward from that. For me – I want Clayton Kershaw to come back. I think they're going to work it out. I think they'll find a number that works for everybody, and he can end his career where he should end his career, which is the Dodgers. But as far as most important guy goes for me, Slay.
Can I, before you say the most important, when you say you want to see Kershaw come back, is it how much of that is from a baseball perspective, and how much is that, no, it's because it's Clayton Kershaw?
It's both. If it were just one or the other, I think we're having a different conversation. It's both. From a pure pitching perspective, he's still useful. He is still a useful major league starting pitcher. Is he Cy Young Clayton Kershaw? No. Is he top of the rotation Clayton Kershaw? Probably not. Is he a guy that can make 20 starts for you and give you a chance to win all 20 of them? Yeah. I'll take that guy on my team. Now, it has to be at the right price.
What's the right price? What is the – no.
it's probably north of 30, right? If he's making, what does he make? I think he makes 33 or 35 right now. We're going to have to come back on the other side of 30, probably. But this isn't a money play for him. I really don't believe that. If he was just about money, then he's probably gone. I've never gotten the sense of that from him, ever. He wants to win. Well, Dodgers give you a pretty damn good chance to win. He is, arguably, on the very short list of most popular Dodger players ever. Not just of his era, but ever. He's one of those guys. It happens to just about everybody, but if there's a way to keep him here because he's Clayton Kershaw, I'd like to see it.
So you know why I asked the question? Because there's a fine line to watch. Dodgers are in a different predicament than, let me just use as an example, right? When the Lakers were figuring out with Kobe Bryant his final 2 years, they overpaid him. Overpaid him in this. Yep. Okay, let me say this. They overpaid him because there's a salary cap. They didn't overpay him. By having Kobe Bryant in the stands, you were selling out every time. It was a good business decision.
Of course it was.
There was no question about that from a business perspective. But the Lakers were also in an interesting predicament. Their predicament was they weren't expected to win in his final 2 years. The Dodgers are in a completely different situation. The Dodgers situation is not only have they been incredibly successful over a handful of years, it doesn't look like anything's going to change in the near future, as in they're going to continue to be successful. So that's why I asked a question on Kershaw. His predicament is different than other players who have been all-time greats for a franchise and an organization. Dodgers are still winning.
All right, phone calls coming up here in just 1 second. The guy for me, the guy for me is Chris Taylor, because it's not one guy. He's like five guys. You're getting a left fielder. You're getting a center fielder. You're getting a shortstop. You're getting a third baseman. You're getting a leadoff hitter. You're getting a guy that can hit in the middle of your order. You're getting a guy that can hit at the back end of your order and do all of those things at a very high level. It's not just that he can and do them very, very well. He's not the most expensive player on this list. Just if you're a scout and you're listing all the things, he's not the best player on this list. But he might be the most important, because as difficult as it would be to see Corey Seager leave, and I don't want him to leave either, you could make a case that you can just slide Trey Turner over there and we're good. It's kind of sort of the same deal. You're not finding a guy that's going to do what Chris Taylor does. You're just not. It's just far too difficult to replace somebody that's that valuable. Let's try East LA and Kirk. Kirk, you're on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. You're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey. How you doing?
Good.
What's going on, Kirk? What's going on?
My opinion is keep Chris Taylor. He's all positioned. If you get rid of Seager, let him go. Taylor can play any position out there, and you could put him, like you were saying, you could put him anywhere in the lineup, and we're going to get more bang for our buck than we're going to get for Seager. I would think you just move Turner to shortstop. I think we're good.
Look, you'd be good for next season. The wild card with that becomes, Kirk, is you need to have a conversation with Trey Turner right
Seager.
Now. I don't think it's disrespectful. I think it's due diligence. I think, look, you try to do what you do with Corey Seager. The Dodgers will offer him a ton of money, I anticipate, to get him to stay. The question is, will you move positions at some point in your career? Do you have to be a shortstop for as long as you're here? These are the sorts of things. And as you're having those conversations, Al, you need to have Trey Turner on the other line saying, hey, do you like Los Angeles? Do you like being a Dodger? Do you want to stay here a long time? Because the last thing you can do is say, oh, we got Trey Turner. We'll just replace Corey Seager with Trey Turner. And then Trey Turner says, you know what? I'm from the East Coast, played on the East Coast. I like that a lot better. Peace. Now what?
No. But I think there is disrespect to Corey Seager, because that's been the conversation since Trey Turner was traded to the Dodgers. I do. I've heard Dodger fans say it. I've heard you say it, that, hey, well, the reason why you're bringing – how great is this? Trey Turner, who – I'm not arguing that the guy is not a fantastic player, because he is. Mm-hmm. But Corey Seager, you know, how you were kind of – There's certain players that have done it for your organization. There's certain players who have delivered for your organization. There are certain players that have gone through the ups and the downs. So how quickly to say, because it's not an age thing. Corey Seager is younger than Trey Turner. I think there's 27 and 28. It's not a – from a talent perspective, Trey Turner is an unbelievable hitter. Corey Seager is a fantastic player and has won a World Series for your roster as well. I think when I say there is disrespect to it, what I'm talking about is how quick people – not even people, but how quick it would be for the organization to say, okay, you're gone, Trey Turner, put him there, and then you go.
I think what happened is they realized that Corey Seager's up as a free agent. They realized that Scott Boras is his agent. They realized
Trey Turner's up in a year.
I get it, but he's up first, and I need to have a plan B in place. Look, I don't think the Dodgers are going to lowball Corey Seager. I don't think they're going to do anything other than try to keep him. The hedge was, it wasn't that we don't like you. It's we think everybody else really likes you, too. We need to make sure that if you do decide to leave, that we can get something done. Because, look, I get it. This is what Scott Boras does with his guys. He takes them to the market. It's if I were a Scott Boras client, no, two things. Number one, anybody that doesn't have Scott Boras as their agent is probably doing it wrong because he gets his guys a whole bunch of money. And number two, I'd want to go to the market, too, and see what's out there. If he was, I'm here no matter what, they probably would have gotten something done by now. He wants to see what's on the market. The Dodgers didn't say, we don't know if we like you or not, so we're going to bring the other guy in. They're saying, we know everybody likes you, and somebody may go crazy with something, so we need to have plan B. We're going to try to keep you. I don't think this was ever, we're okay if he leaves. It's what if he leaves despite our best efforts.
Do you think there's a scenario that plays out where the Yankees, let's just use the Yankees as an example, who are very well known, and there's a decent share of shortstops that are available this offseason, but let's just use the Yankees as an example. Yankees offer, if it's apples to apples, as in the Yankees and the Dodgers are both offering the same amount of money to Corey Seager, and Corey Seager decides to come back, does that then change the whole game plan on Trey Turner?
I think that's up to Trey Turner at that point. I don't think it changes the Dodgers' mind. I think it changes Trey Turner's mind. Does Trey Turner want to be a shortstop? Then, bye. See ya. Because there's nowhere to go. If you're comfortable playing second base, then I don't think it changes. Or center field or whatever it might be. It gives the Dodgers the one thing that they are better at than everybody else in baseball. Options. They always have a million different options, whether it's different players, different terms, different dollars. They just have a million different things that they can do. Travis Lee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Pet protection comes free with auto collision coverage. Visit progressive.com. Let's try another phone call here. Eric, you are up next. You're on with Travis and Slee. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, I'm good. I got to tell you something. There was an episode of Gilligan's Island years ago where they found these seeds that help them read minds. You guys must have been eating them because – Travis, you took my thought on Kershaw about just the sentimental value and so forth, and then I can't remember who it was, but somebody took my other thought. But having said that, I'll say
probably Funchess.
So having said that, I'll say this. So, you know, you named, I think, five players, and we can get some things out of the way. Nobody puts Kenley Jansen in the gotta keep category.
I think
okay?
You're right.
Let's eliminate that first. Right, and then you said so. Now, with Turner and Seager, here's my thing. If it's against my religion to overpay for stuff, I it just is. You
Preach.
Know, and I got to tell you something. There's another person here that you got to kind of inject into this conversation that factors into here, and that is Gavin Lux. And I got to tell you something. I think the kid is he's a shortstop, but he plays second base. You know, Muncy will be back. They've had him there before, too. And if you plug Lux into this equation, it makes Seager more expendable. Now, again, no disrespect. Somebody used the word disrespect. Got nothing but respect for the kid. Nothing but respect. But I got the two balls that Gavin Lux thought he hit out of the park in these playoffs are a harbinger of – I mean, he's getting – confidence is a beautiful thing at the pro level, let me just tell you. And I saw his grow exponentially. Now, it shrank when he dropped that ball in center field.
That didn't help.
But don't put him out there. Don't put him out there. But I'm saying, we're talking about Seager and Turner. I plugged Turner in at shortstop.
Yeah.
I put Lux in at second base and let him play a full season. Not
so you bring up a couple of good points, Eric, and I hate to cut you off, but I want to address these points because the Lux – optionality again changes the whole Rubik's Cube all over again. Now let's do that. Let's talk about how Gavin Lux fits into this as well. And I want to address what he said there a second ago about Corey Seager and Gavin Lux. It's kind of interchangeable. I strongly disagree, and I'll explain why that's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN, plus more of your phone calls.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're kind of a traditionalist, Slee, when it comes to the Halloween candy. You're like,
I said, Mr.
Reese's.
What'd I say?
Didn't you say Reese's?
No, no, no. I said Baby Ruth.
Yeah, that's a
classic.
I said
Twizzlers.
Those are gross.
And then I said, what was the other one? Mr. Goodbar?
Yeah,
those,
yes. That's old school. That's like
that's
from
a good one.
Way back. So let's talk about this real quick. Mm-hmm. You've gotten the little bag of miniatures, right? That has all the four different types in there. Let's rank them. There's the Hershey original, right? Just the milk chocolate Hershey original.
That's going towards the end.
There's okay. Mr. Goodbar, which is the same candy, just has peanuts in it.
Move that up towards the front.
That's really good. There's Crackle, which is the same chocolate, but it has the little Rice Krispies in it.
Okay, yep.
No, not bad. Really good. And then there's the one that I would rank at the very top that I think most people would have at the bottom. Is the Hershey Special Dark. It's just
that gold wrapper.
Right. It's the gold and the red. It's got the little red line at the bottom that's just a little bite of dark chocolate that's delicious.
Yeah.
So it's, for me, Special Darks, Goodbar, Krispies, or Crackle, I guess it's called, in that bag, and then the original Hershey.
Goodbar, Crackle, Dark Chocolate, Original.
Yeah. Guys?
Let's go. Mr. Goodbar, Crackle, Original, Hershey's, and Dark Chocolate.
Okay, I'll trade you my dark chocolates for your Hershey's. We're done. Emily?
Dark chocolate is definitely going in the bottom of my
list.
Okay,
I'll take yours, too.
Dark chocolate's good.
I don't think I've ever had a Mr. Goodbar, so that's going to go...
You've had milk chocolate and peanuts, though. That's what it is. That's all it is.
But, okay,
it's really
so then,
good.
So if that's what it is, so yeah. I'm going to put that at the bottom as well, because I don't like peanuts.
You can have two things at the bottom.
So third. I'll put it at that okay. third. Dark chocolate, fourth. Crackle one, Hershey original Hershey two.
All right. So we got to see. We could all get along. We could all pick our own candies out of that bag, and we'd be pretty good. Travis Sleeves brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. The last caller said something interesting that you could kind of just drop Gavin Lux in if Corey Seager mm-hmm. leaves, and you don't really mm-hmm. miss a beat. I think you miss a beat. I think the difference between those two players is very significant. We saw Gavin Lux try to play shortstop while Corey Seager was down before they made the trade for Trey Turner? No. No, that's not really the way that's going to work. At second base, he's okay. Gavin Lux is an interesting player. He really doesn't have a position on the field that makes a ton of sense. He's okay at second. He'd probably be okay at third if you gave him a handful of reps. He could survive at short, although it's not really his cup of tea, at least from what I've seen. The outfield seems like a bad idea. But even if you just put the defense aside, Corey Seager offensively is light years ahead of Gavin Lux.
Well, this is the unique position, and if you have to take one of these, bring one of these guys back between Kershaw, Kenley, Corey Seager, Chris Taylor, Kenley Jansen, we're having that conversation. So 877-710-ESPN. The unique thing about the Dodgers, Trav, let's just say they went 0-5. Let's say Kenley, they decided we don't want you back. Let's say Kershaw gets offered a boatload of money to go play in Texas or somewhere else, or the Angels, or one of these other teams that have money, no pitching,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to take a chance. They want to sell some more season tickets.
Sure.
Okay. Corey Seager goes to the New York Yankees. Let's say Chris Taylor gets a good contract somewhere else. Let's say every single player left that we're talking about here. This is what makes the Dodgers so unique, because when you say Gavin Lux at second is a bad idea, mm-hmm. as in not even a bad idea, but you're saying don't comp Corey Seager and Gavin Lux in the same conversation.
Right.
Okay, what would their lineup be if all five of those guys go?
All right, here you go. This is if all five of those free agents leave, you have Mookie Betts in right field, you have Trey Turner playing short, you have Will Smith behind home plate, you've got Cody Bellinger in center field, you got Max Muncy at first, you have A.J. Pollock in left, you have Justin Turner at third base, and you have Gavin Lux as your second baseman. Your starting rotation is Walker Buehler, Julio Urias, Dustin May, and Tony Gonsolin. You got to find one more. Your closer is Blake Treinen.
See where I'm
all
going
of
here?
These guys are. You still have the best team in the National League on paper.
And that's, by the way, that's not going to happen. And obviously the Dodgers have shown that this is not – one of the toughest things to do in sports is to build something that's sustainable. built something that every single year you're in the mix. And listen, I don't have to sit here and tell Dodger fans are disappointed that they only have one World Series over this unbelievable run that they've had, because they've got so close, right? They've had so many opportunities to get there. But it's still pretty damn impressive that every single season that you get to pitchers and catchers reporting and you get to spring training, that you're one of the few teams that has a legitimate shot of winning a World Series. If they lose all the players that we just talked about, they still have a shot.
All right, let's try another phone call here. Let's go to Oceanside and Jeff. Jeff, you're on with Travis and Slee. And before we get to the Dodgers, what's the ranking of the Hershey's miniature bars?
Five.
Five?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Hershey's.
All right, so you're putting them all in number five. I like that. What do you got on the Dodgers, Jeff?
Thanks for taking my call, fellas. So I think we're missing something pretty big, and I think it's something that we should take into account. Part of the Dodgers ownership group is Magic Johnson. Somebody who raised them in that industry is Dr. Buss. And Dr. Buss was huge on loyalty. I'll just reference Kobe's last contract. I know that was Jeannie, but she doesn't fall too far from the tree. Mm-hmm. And I think when it comes to the Dodgers, is they'll handle Kershaw in the same sense. Kershaw is the Kobe Bryant for the Dodgers. He was our pick. We raised him. He grew up here. He is an Angelino. Forget about Texas. I don't think he's going there. I think we just have to offer him something that's respectful. And then in regards to Seager, I love him. I think he's a great player, but I think the Yankees are just going to overpay.
They might.
And that's what it will be.
And that's why Trey Turner is here. This has nothing to do with the Dodgers disrespecting Corey Seager. It had everything to do with someone may just blow the roof off the whole thing, and now what do you do? That's why Trey Turner, not because they don't love you, Corey. It's because everybody loves Corey along the way. I want to go back to something he said there a second ago, Slee. Jeff, thanks. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with the Kobe comparisons, right? With Clayton Kershaw being, you know, he's a Dodger, drafted by the Dodgers, developed by the Dodgers, became a Hall of Famer in the Dodgers, won the World Series, blah, 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 right? And I'm even okay if they want to give him the Kobe deal and just pay him the going rate. Like, if they want to pay him like he's Clayton Kershaw from 6 years ago, that's fine. As long as you don't come back later and say, listen, the reason we can't go and get another guy is our payroll is XYZ. If you want to pay him to give him the gold watch, so to speak, great. But it can't be that you can't give other people some silver watches. You need to make sure that you're still going to pay. And here's the really good news, Slee. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers, as far as I can tell and as far as the way that they've run this organization, they have not let their unwillingness to spend money ever interfere. If they think it's a good idea, they'll do it. And if it costs a lot of money, that's fine. We'll do it anyway.
Yeah, by the way, I'm sitting here. Tell me if is it the right comp? And you would have a better idea in this than I would. When I hear Kershaw is what Kobe was to the Lakers, is that the right comp? And is it just because
it's not perfect? It's not perfect.
The reason why I say it is, and maybe this shouldn't come into play, but Kobe also has five NBA championships, and that might not be fair because baseball is different, and what Kobe could do in a five-person lineup is different than what a pitcher can do when it – don't get me wrong, the ace is the ace, and yes, you obviously got to depend on that person. But every time I hear that – is that the right comp?
I think it's the right one, but it's not a perfect one. Here's the biggest difference. And we're going to take more of your phone calls coming up in just a bit. The biggest difference is, and I said this a second ago, Clayton Kershaw is the most popular Dodger over the last decade by a mile, okay? Mm-hmm. He's one of the most popular Dodgers ever, okay? He's up there with Fernando and Sandy Koufax and all of these other guys. He is as popular as a Dodger player could be, and he should be. None of those dudes are in Kobe's category when it comes to popularity. None of them are. They're just that Kobe transcended just, oh, he's my favorite basketball player. Like, Kobe was people's favorite human being. Mm-hmm. It was just a totally different. So it's not perfect from a popularity sense because.
But I get the concept of it.
The only person that's as popular as Kobe Bryant is Magic Johnson. That's it. You know, they're the only, maybe Vin Scully. He might be the other one that hits people a certain way like that. But Kobe's on a level that was just entirely his own. All right, more of your phone calls coming up. Plus, we got the dump straight ahead. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN. All right, more of your phone calls coming up here in just a bit. Emily, tell me that again. You said you saw a tweet where Ozzie Guillen interviewed or had an interview with the Padres or will have an interview with the Padres?
I think he already had one.
Yeah, so last week he had an interview with the Padres, sources of Ken Rosenthal.
Huh. That's kind of – Ozzie's his own brand of dude, that's for sure. But doesn't it seem like they could use a little bit of somebody that might lose their mind after a two-game losing streak? The Padres just went down the drain in the second half of this. Ozzie Guillen would not have let that happen. Now, they may all hate his guts by the end of spring training.
Sure.
But he's a pretty fiery dude.
Yeah, listen, they need a vet. They need somebody who's been there, done it before. They didn't have that with Jace Tingler, and they did fall apart. I mean, Trev, they didn't just fall apart. You had a two-game lead in the wild card, and then you ended up – losing the wild card by two games.
Mm-hmm.
They were up 8 or 9 games, and then by the last week of the season, they mathematically were eliminated by 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, it was about as big a disaster as one team can have in a single season. So they got to do – Ozzie's interesting. I don't know if it's a good idea, but it's certainly an interesting idea. Let's try another phone call very quickly. Paul in Huntington Beach. Paul, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up?
Hey, always good to talk. Nothing, Ozzie Guillen and Manny Machado, what could possibly go wrong in San Diego? That would be,
Let's do it.
That would be freaking awesome, dude. Sign me up for that. That'd be great. Hey, listen, I know you're close on time, but I appreciate it. With the Dodgers, they've got to back up the truck and bring back Seager. There's no doubt about it. Here's the thing. If the National League goes to a DH like it looks like it's going to, there's an obvious fit with Justin Turner there. Seager at third, Trey Turner at short for a year. Figure out if you want to pay Trey Turner or Cody Bellinger and call it a day. By the way, if you're going to spend big-time money on a big left-handed bat, I know that Seager's had some injury problems, but let's keep it real about Bellinger. He was a National League MVP. The last month and a half of that MVP season, very, very pedestrian and not good ever since. I know there's been injuries, but I'm not willing to bet on that guy like I am on Seager. And listen, I would love to see Seager be that next Kershaw guy who's here for 100 years. We drafted him, we raised him, and he's our guy. I'll let you guys go, but good to talk to you. Talk soon.
Appreciate the call, man.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. The Dodgers will not pay Cody Bellinger like that. They'll probably try to keep him, but this is one of those – yeah, well, look, he's a ways away. They have some time to decide before they want to do that. And he did get going a little bit in the postseason, but Paul is not wrong about that. One more very quick. No way I'm leaving this guy there. Gardena and Manuel. Manuel, what's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Slee, Stack, Travis, excellent show as usual. So I'm going to contradict an earlier caller. The guy I'm bringing back is Kenley Jansen for one reason. He is nails. He found his rhythm, and I'm going to put a premium on everybody that's worn that Dodger blue for one reason, Travis. I don't want another J.R. Reddick or Josh Reddick, whatever the hell that guy's name was, or another Eddie Whitson, all right? Uh-huh. This is L.A. We need pressure players. Kenley, like him or not, is a pressure player. CK1, pressure player. Seager, pressure player. So we got to put a premium on those guys because – if we go out and sign someone else, there's no telling. We've had these guys for 9 years. I trust them.
I think you just answered your own question, Manuel. You've had him for 9 years. I think that's why it's time to move on. You're right. You're right that he's a pressure player. You're right that Kenley Jansen is a great Dodger. He's a World Series champion. He's a multiple-time All-Star, all of that stuff. Like this is what you do. You call him and you say, Kenley, you are a Dodger for life. But you're not a Dodger here next season. You're going to have to go do this somewhere else. I Kenley had an amazing year, but it does feel like they got the very best out of him. And unlike Kershaw, unlike Seager and some of these other guys, I would very much rather cut a year early on that than a year late.
Yeah, Trav, I it's funny. The Kenley one is probably the last one that I would have picked, and I just say that just because what you said – the dude was amazing, 34 years old, at the stretch of his career. By the way, you have Trinan that's ready to go if you need him to start closing, so you got a backup move there.
All right, let's very quickly go to the dump. This is a pretty good day, Slee. Back on October 26th, 1984, Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, and John Stockton all made their NBA debuts. A couple of decent careers in there.
Yeah, I'm trying to see here. How come nobody said anything about Sam Bowie? How come no one mentioned anything about Bowie? Hakeem was the number one pick that year, if you remember. By the way, this draft alone, you got Hakeem, you got obviously Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, Who else was on this? Stockton is on there. Thought there was a couple more that came out of this draft as well, but as good as it gets.
This is how good Akeem Olajuwon was. Mm-hmm. That everybody talks about Sam Bowie. Michael Jordan didn't go second behind Sam Bowie. He went third behind Sam Bowie, right? That Olajuwon was the number one pick, and no one has ever said that Houston made the wrong pick. That's how good Olajuwon was that Jordan went third, and the Houston Rockets fans are like, yeah, that's fine. We got
former,
our guy.
Former Laker number four, Sam Perkins. Perkins went that draft as well.
He was great. All right, a video game called Battlefield 2042, I love this, has a feature, or I should say a billboard that features a 65-year-old Tom Brady as MVP. So in a apocalyptic world of 2042, Tom Brady is still the MVP of the National Football League. I like that a lot.
It's actually the odds right now in the NFL, in Vegas, have him as the favorite to win MVP in 2042.
50 doesn't seem so crazy anymore. He's still lighting it up in the NFL. Matt Stafford only needs to throw 300 more touchdown passes to catch
him. Yeah, that's it.
John Elway, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, full stop. John Elway was amazing. Mm-hmm. Has 300 NFL passing touchdowns. He has twice as many, 600 for Tom Brady. How do people find the pod, Slee?
ESPN app or on iTunes, just search Travis and Sliwa. Catch the full 3 hours every morning from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
All right, Mason and Island are next. Slee and I are all over the Laker game tomorrow morning. Plus, as always, real Dodger talk. We'll see you then, 710 ESPN.